Hi. A Twitter account called Diabolical Spuds had a very good rant on Twitter last week. It was about Boeing, a company I'd also ranted about last week. The stuff going on with Boeing has been happening in every industry for a long time. All of the skilled individuals who actually do the job are understaffed and overworked, while the administrative class of MBA vampires with email and PowerPoint jobs continues to grow. Boeing used to be run by engineers. Hospitals used to be run by doctors. Universities used to be run by professors. There's this bloated corporate class sucking the lifeblood out of every institution in this country. Corporate leadership are constantly incentivized to cut costs, and they sure as fuck aren't going to do it from executive compensation. They aren't going to fire the 12 vice presidents who are in their frat and do about 8 hours of actual work a week, concluded the tweet. I have to say I agree, and it ties in perfectly with an essay I wanted to share today from Webworm regular Hayden Donnell. At this point, I've known Hayden for more years than I haven't, which is terrifying. I'm not entirely sure if that's a blessing or a curse, a sign of something wonderful, or a shining example of the sunk cost fallacy. One thing I do know is that he has good ideas, and he's a really good writer. And he has something to say about your boss. All right, this is Hayden's essay. The bosses are nearly all buffoons, by Hayden Donnell. A few months before the Messenger shut down, some of its reporters sat on a Zoom call staring up Chief Executive Jimmy Finkelstein's nostrils as he called out for an unseen person to bring him coffee and a cookie. That's in quote marks. The reporters were worried the site was going bankrupt. Finkelstein had recently sold the laptops they used to make quick cash. In a piece for Variety describing the interaction, the former political reporter Ami Pan says Finkelstein didn't take his staff's concerns kindly. He told them he was 88.5% sure the site would make it through the 2024 presidential election, adding, "I've never failed." He failed. The Messenger shut down a few weeks ago, as 300 employees found out they'd lost their jobs via email, or in some cases because they'd already been booted off Slack. Finkelstein had managed to blow through a $50 million budget in less than a year, thanks to a boneheaded business strategy and a selling proposition perfectly unsuited to the internet age. And having almost no idea how to run a functioning news business, Finkelstein stands in a proud tradition of news executives the world over. Now, much has been written about the structural factors accelerating the media's demise. Tech giants have hoovered up its ad revenue like the sandworms from June. Its audiences have migrated to TikTok, or worse, X, where they routinely mistake the deranged inner monologue of @MegaJackie28743781 for objective journalism. Less has been written about the incompetence of the media's executives. Vice was home to some of the world's most principled and talented journalists. But it was also run by cartoonish charlatans who blew half the OPEX on jobs for their friends, cocaine, and general horndoggery. Mostly, though, media bosses have demonstrated more mundane strategic ineptitude. They responded to the looming threat of the internet by making their product free and spending 10 years destroying their brands for clicks. When that didn't work, they pivoted to telling people the hollowed-out sites they'd splattered with content slop were premium products worth paying for. This sort of bumbling is neither uncommon nor unique to the media. Anyone who's ever worked for a corporation will recognize the inverse relationship between seniority and competence. There's some research underpinning the idea that senior managers have at least a little bit of loose wiring. Chief executives are famously 4 times more likely than the general population to be psychopaths. But most people don't come into contact with chief executives. They're afflicted by day-to-day managers, who grade out somewhere between mediocre and the clinically brain-dead. There are an array of suspects for the terrible manager phenomenon. Fast Company, a publication aimed at people who spend a lot of time liking posts from thinkfluencers, says it's because we don't train them enough in people management. I suspect it's because corporate structures reward a disproportionate amount of mediocre people for the important skill of not talking back to their managers. Those managers, having already been through this process, are also likely too mediocre to identify the fact that the person they're promoting is mediocre. Webram's in-house psychotherapist Paul Wilson says there's some merit to the idea that companies tend to promote people for their skill at climbing the greasy pole rather than their ability or strategic nous. There's quite a probably spurious saying that goes, those who can't do, teach. Well, that could be rewritten as those that can't do, manage, he says. If you realize you're not as good as the product side of the business, focusing on the management side of the business is a relatively clever play. In some ways, that's a good thing. Nobody wants a loudmouth, know-it-all webworm columnist as a boss. It'd be a nightmare. But the downside is that that skill at ascending through an organizational chart doesn't necessarily translate to big picture thinking or astute decision making. Most of the time, that's survivable. Businesses muddle on through. But when a crisis arises, it can add to the trauma. Paul Wilson says, bosses are often very internally focused on their status in the organization. That doesn't mean they're great at surveying the horizon and seeing what's coming next. And when the waves come, you hope the people atop the greasy pole are good at navigating the surf. Finkelstein begged Amy Parnes to take a job at The Messenger. His voice cracked when she finally said yes. When it shut down without warning, she was left with no income, no health insurance, and a child to take care of. As at The Messenger, as at Vice, or any number of other businesses, the managers were good at talking a big game. But when the waves came in, they just steered straight into the rocks. Most of them were too proud to even shout, abandon ship. And that was Hayden Donnell's essay, as read by me, David. Over on Webroom, I'll be in the comments, as will psychotherapist Paul Wilson. So thanks for listening or reading, and we'll see you in the comments.